2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this earthly thing that aches and hurts, do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, the idea in the passage, and this is a stickler amongst grace believers. I'm not asking you to believe me. You all understand? I'm asking you to believe the Word of God. And the conflict comes in because a lot of people believe that verse that says, while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then that verse 8, for we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, I see it as this. And I'm not real bright, and I don't claim to do anything very well. That is a fact. But there's a veil called flesh that is keeping you from really seeing what really is. I believe the veil that you're in, if we could rip the veil off, there'd be a spiritual world around you that you would have no clue until it came off. Now, I see that in the passage. Sorry. Part of my little glorying thing I get. Not everybody gets one, I guess. Brenda called me Job today. So that was kind of interesting. I thought, and then Jeff wears Job out further. You know, the friends that come by and see Job. He's dying, but who cares? That rhythm needs to tighten up. I understand. But hey, just remember, you get it all when I'm gone, baby. It's yours. See if you can do better, I hope. In Luke 16, there's a rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into Abraham's by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. What does that tell us about death? There's a new conscience once you leave the flesh. They couldn't see those places before. They were unavailable to their eyesight. They didn't know they really existed. And then all of a sudden, at the moment of their death, they got a whole new perspective of what's out there. So I believe when a person dies, as they exit the flesh, they are privy to see, feel, understand. None of that left. Their consciousness never left them. The rich man was where? Died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in
torment.
Then could he feel?
Yes.
Yeah, but he couldn't feel that in the flesh. He had to exit the flesh in order to feel that. And the point that I know is, how is it connected? Here's the honest truth. I have no idea. What do I do know? He's feeling it. Y'all understand? He's feeling it. He's bummed out about it. He has a conversation about it. Look what he said. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. There it is again, a reiteration of torment in flame. But what do we know about the worm? It never dies. And what do we know about Revelation 20? Death and hell are going to be what? Resurrected and then thrown into the lake of fire, Isaiah 66, verse 24. And how long is it going to burn?
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. Now, the only point I want you to get out of this is that there is definitely something beyond the flesh. People are walking around as if God and consequences aren't going to matter. I'm telling you, the people are living a life like they're not going to ever have to answer to the Lord. And the fact is, you have to answer to the Lord. You know what? Your grandmother has to answer to the Lord. Do you realize there are 101, 102-year-old people that drop off and die and go to hell every day? Do you realize that there are 13, 14, 15-year-old kids that have rebelled and they're in a state of rebellion that is going to bust hell wide open? Not because they're rebellious. It's because they haven't trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the argument of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that automatically these people are in heaven. Well, let me ask you, under the Luke 16, where were these people? Huh? I can't hear you. One was in hell, and one was in paradise. Were either one of them in heaven?
No.
You know, this concept of heaven is kind of a strange and grossly understood place. What? You all understand? I mean, how many have heard the idea that you die and you go to heaven?
Amen.
Well, that is not true anywhere in the books of Matthew through John. Their inheritance never, ever, ever, ever was, listen to me closely, heaven. I mean, I'm sick of the Baptist preachers and the people who think they know something about the Word of God and stand up and preach, and they're ignorant. And here I'm sitting as sick as I am trying to teach people the Word of God, and people don't get it. Folks, don't you realize in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was not a single person's hope that was set upon heaven? It was about a kingdom on an earth, and it's about a resurrection of Ezekiel 37 into the kingdom? This whole concept is a fake concept. And I've heard Terry preach it. I've heard Ricky Jordan preach it. Listen, guys, it doesn't matter who preaches it. The only hope for the church of the body of Christ is the resurrection of the rapture of the church. One hope. So what do you do when you die? What is it that you do? Well, I think the Bible's clear. I don't believe you're in heaven. And I believe that. But I don't believe you're in hell. Unless you're lost. See, I believe even today, just like the rich man went down into hell and the beggar went into Abraham's bosom or paradise. And a lot of people believe paradise went up into heaven. Why would God give them an inheritance that He never ever talked about?
He wouldn't.
Isn't that weird? Tony, you've been in churches all your life. They say when you die, you go into heaven. Can you prove it to me? Come on, can you prove it to me? People act like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're basically one home base at that's heaven. It isn't heaven. Kingdom for them. You do have a hope of your calling. And He didn't say there were 40 million hopes or that. He said there's one hope of your calling. And just like there's one national resurrection, where is that found in the Bible? No, that's ours. Where's the national resurrection? What?
Ezekiel.
Zechariah would be fine too, but it's not in there. Ezekiel is the place where it talks about it. And, you know,
well, Romans 11, then so shall all Israel be saved.
Doesn't help.
Somebody else has got my call.
It's worse than a call, brother. Trust me. I've discovered new things. It's amazing. You guys just better be studying. Listen. Death is a process in which your hope is fulfilled. Israel's hope was never heaven. How does a Baptist preacher out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John get anybody into heaven? Isn't that the weirdest thing? I mean, really, think about that for a minute. It's weird. But they do it, and you know what? We've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. Amen? How many has heard that, that hey, everybody goes to heaven? Yeah, I mean, everybody goes to heaven. And I started thinking about it flying home the other day. That isn't true. It's absolutely not true. And so I thought, and then the Millers were so kind to send me this passage to work off of, and I started thinking about that passage, how people confuse it. Are these people that have left the flesh, are they in the presence of the Lord?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no? Oh, I got it going good now.
I say yeah.
No.
Why do you say yes?
Because Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Well, he does say that, but we're still in that, Luke, but that wouldn't bother me. Come on. The veil is keeping you from the spiritual world. There is a spiritual world out there, and this robe of flesh is like the veil of the holies of holies. You can't go beyond it. You're not allowed in it. But once it's dissolved, you're in a different world. It's like there's two worlds running simultaneously. A spiritual world and a fleshly world. This fleshly world is filled with Z4s. BMWs, Harley Davidsons. I'm playing with Larry. He just bought a Z3 or a Z4. Have y'all seen that car? Whew, man, it looks sharp. He probably won't even let me drive it. He won't let me drive his Harley, I know. That's the fleshly realm. It's what we see. It's what we think is real. It's what we consider to be true. It's almost like this is our anchor. Because we can see it, but that isn't the anchor. There's a spiritual world that is around us at the moment. We just can't see it because we don't have spiritual eyes. We have fleshly eyes. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is going to be a short sermon. Take good notes.
2 Corinthians 4:1.
I'm willing to try anything. Send your remedies to WW. No, I'm just kidding. Now watch. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction. That has to do with this world,
right,
which is but for a moment, it's temporal, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are what? But of the things which are what? Well, how do we see those things? It's the only place you can find them. And so you start to build your faith knowing what hope it is and what is... I mean, really, that's what he's praying for the Ephesians. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? But the things which are not seen are what? So I believe that God is in this realm. And you're in the presence of the Lord. Are these people in the presence of the Lord? Yes, they are. Where are they caught, though? In eternal judgment. Y'all understand?
Well, the people in hell.
Yes. Are they in the presence of the Lord? Yeah, they're talking to Abraham, guys.
That don't mean they're in the presence of the Lord.
They are in the presence of the Lord. You know why? The Lord is everywhere.
Right.
But what is hell? What is hell? It's a what?
Separation
from God. It's not a separation from God. It's a prison.
No, well, I mean,
it's a prison.
It's a holding cell.
It's a holding cell. Jesus Christ went to where? Wasn't Jesus Christ God?
Well, that means he's not always there then if he had to go there.
Well, he went there in the physical, the soulless body that he was in, just like these guys are in. But the Spirit of the God, where is the Spirit of the Lord?
Everywhere.
Who said that? It's everywhere. That's a spiritual realm. What I'm trying to tell you is you're trapped by this physical body, and until you break loose, Then you're in the spiritual realm where you can see the things of eternal judgment and godly things that you can't see outside of the Word of God. You can't physically see them. People have tried to paint them and encapsulate their imagery on canvas for years and millenniums. But the only way you can see them is here. But let me tell you, everything outside of this realm is spiritual. Everything in here is what? Physical. These things are eternal. These things are what?
Temporal.
Not eternal.
Temporal.
Temporal. Alright? One. All this stuff fades. This is an eternal factor here. It was for them. Now, let me ask a question. All these people that are in hell, are they going to stay in hell?
No.
What do they do first?
They
go before the Lord. They're held here and they go before a throne. And that is the great white throne judgment. And if they're not found in the book of life, where are they? Now, tell me a little bit difference between the lake of fire and hell. Now, I do believe the lake of fire is the absence of God. Y'all understand? I don't believe hell is. Hell is a jailhouse. It's a holding spot. Y'all understand? It's not eternal. Let me show you. Go to Revelation. I believe... Go to Revelation... And I'll read you what I believe. And look at Revelation 20. I'm sorry, I'm not doing a very good job. I'm whooped. I'm not like Deborah. She goes all over this country, suntanning in the basking beaches of around, but not me. Jet setter Deborah. Revelation 20, read with me. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. I believe that's the 66 books of a King James Bible. Another book was open, which is the book of life. I think that's true. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And I believe the sea is the crystal sea. Not the ocean like the rivers and that kind of thing. I believe it's the crystal sea. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their what?
What's the crystal sea? I got lost on that.
The veil that
it's
capsules our universe?
Revelation 12. I'll have to preach on that another time. That's important. But if you want to say it's the ocean, it's okay with me. It doesn't really matter. It's not. It's the crystal. Huh? It's the fallen angels. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Now, and they were judged every man according to their work, and death and hell were cast into the what? This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Now, was Jesus there and did he see death and hell?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not out of the realm of God right at this point. But when they reach the lake of fire, guess what? It's out of the realm of the Creator. And yet, even the lake of fire is still, the top part is set so we can see.
So they're in hell until the end of creation.
At the great white throne, absolutely. Now, go to, but watch this. There is a temple, if you will, that people will walk by and can look down into the lake of fire. If you believe your Bible. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a huge thing, but go to Isaiah 66. All I can give you is what I know. Isaiah 66. And I guarantee you don't get this in a Baptist church. Amen?
Amen.
So,
I've been to a Baptist church lately, but if they're not doing it on TV, it must be secret.
It is secret. Part of Revelation 22 I want to start in. And there's new heavens and a new earth, which I will make and shall remain before me, saith the Lord. And so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. And why do they need to worship before the Lord? They need the tree of life, guys. Okay, Revelation 22. You might want to put that in there. Let me give you the exact verse. How about that? I'll even... just put 1 through 4. Okay?
Verse 22 in Isaiah.
Yeah, by Isaiah 22. And it's Revelation 22, 1 through 4. Actually, it's verse 23, right near verse 23, but it won't matter. You'll get it close. Now, watch, 24, back in Isaiah 66, 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall what?
Die.
Shall not die, neither thou shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be a hoarding unto all flesh. So, let's get the ministry. This lake of fire, there's going to be people screaming, and these people are going to be walking by knowing the judgment of the Lord, and these people are in robes of what? Flesh. Why do they need to get to the tree and worship?
For the healing.
For the healing. You with me? But for the rest of all eternity, this flame is going to go up, and they're going to be able to look at the carcass of the men that transgressed them. So they will have a way of looking into the spiritual world. It is as if God kind of opens a rip in it so they can look down in it. Right where we just read.
And they shall go forth and look on the carcasses of the men that have transgressed.
You all see that? It's as if God, at the end, doesn't want there to be any mistakes. He, as it is, rips out into a spiritual world that you can look down into every time from new moon to new moon and from one Sabbath to another as people gather. Now, that's what I believe. Are you all okay with that? That's what I believe. You all understand very carefully that you've got to get the robe off. Once you get the robe off, you're in a whole new realm. Anybody seen Jesus Christ lately?
No.
Heard him?
No.
You know why? You're in a trapped realm. And to see him, you got to put off the robe of flesh.
He did that with Elijah.
Do what? He did it with
the veil. And showed he had that many soldiers on the hill or that many angels.
Well, he did it also with Moses.
Yeah.
He didn't let him see his face, but yeah, he got a glimpse into eternity. There's examples of it all the way through scriptures. Paul going to the third heaven. I mean, he's giving glimpse so that you would have it. Y'all understand? He's giving it to men that you would have it. But there's not one person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one, are you listening to me, that ever died and went to heaven. Why?
They're looking for a kingdom.
Isn't that easy, Wayne?
Absolutely.
This isn't hard. So what about us? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What are we looking for? That's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the reason that this comes up is people have got the old teaching that everybody that dies goes where?
Yeah.
Got to get into heaven. Do you care whether you're in heaven?
No.
Honestly, do you care? What do you care? Be with the Lord. I mean, that's what we want, isn't it? Now, I believe you get better than heaven. I personally believe you're going to go far above all heavens. I believe you're going to go to a place that nobody's been except those that are cherished of the Lord. Israel's not going to get it. Are you listening to me? The people in the flesh aren't going to get it. The ones we're talking about in Isaiah. It's the third heaven. We'll be there. That is behind the veil. I don't believe he went there. I don't know. I can just tell you that isn't his hope.
What about Enoch?
Enoch, there is a possibility with Enoch, but that's... Enoch is the closest to this whole thing that we're talking about. Well, that's true. I mean, you've got to understand, there are examples of these in the Old Testament and stuff trying to give us some hint of this. But just because they were took, doesn't mean those guys were took too. One went into paradise and one went into hell.
Right. One taken in wrath.
In Matthew 24, where you were talking about. So, that felt good. So, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, I do believe that once you put off this robe, you're not in Kansas anymore. Okay?
Cross the rainbow.
But here's the seriousness of it. There's an eternity out there that is not an eternity you would desire.
Amen. That's right.
You won't be in Kansas anymore.
That's
right. And then your mom and daddy and your friends and your neighbors won't be there to rescue you, and it won't be a joke. But it's just going to take 1 second of one breath and you're there. Is that yours?
Not mine.
Jeff?
Yeah.
All right, let's cut off the cell phones. I guess. It's not that important. No, that's true. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and I want to start in verse 13. Now, I'm telling you, I believe you won't be in Kansas anymore. You're going to leave this body. But I believe that there are two things that happen for the body of Christ. The lost go down to where? Now, is that a permanent place?
No.
And the rest of us will be asleep. Now, the question of sleep, and Larry's brought this debate up, is where do you go to sleep? Watch me. I don't know.
Okay, but now let me ask you this.
Riddle me this, Batman. Okay.
Okay. You go. On one hand, you go, we go to paradise.
No, I didn't say that. That was for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John saints.
So we don't go to paradise. We go to sleep.
That's right.
Right.
Just like Rip Van Winkle.
I would suspect it's going to be like that.
You know, when the time comes,
you go.
They'll love you, son.
You'll love it because you'll never go to sleep.
Well, that is, I do believe that's the case.
Right.
Now, where, Larry asked me, where does your soul go to sleep? All right, so let's say you're on a car and you have an accident, and you die there.
That clue in Thessalonians, he said, and the dead shall rise first.
I'm trying to.
Well, I'm going to get to that. You ought to come up and preach, brother. That's a good preacher. But, I mean, where does it go? Look. Look my eye real carefully, everybody. Look. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Why? You're in the Lord. You're not in torment. You understand? Y'all understand? You can play all the arguments and you can fantasize about it all you want and search it out in the scriptures. I'm okay with that. What I do know is the dead that have rebelled against God, rejected the gospel of the grace of God, they're in hell with the other ones waiting for that great white throne judgment where God will then ultimately judge them and throw them in the lake of fire. Anybody have any problem with that? They're in torment. It's not a great place. But it's going to be a hell of a lot worse. Literally. I thought that was kind of a pun. Obviously, you didn't think that was as funny as that. Because the lake of fire is worse than hell. You know why? I believe the lake of fire is the absence of God. Can you imagine being in torment? I want to go back, if we have time, Lord willing. Do you realize that that guy is watching Lazarus in Abraham's bosom? And in some mind, he still has hope. In his mind, he's crying out, Abraham! Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger and cool me. He still thinks he has a hope. But you know what is absent from the lake of fire? That hope is totally expired.
In everyday life here, you know, we're watched over by God. He's with us and we feel His Spirit, stuff like that. But you can just imagine being in the most evil place and He's no longer there. He's not. He's just absent. That'd be...
Unbelievable. So hell still has some sense of hope. He's talking to Abraham across the way. Abraham, listen to me. But as soon as that moment, that judgment comes and they come before the great white throne judgment and they're thrown into the lake of fire, all hope is expired. None. It's really unbelievable if you think about it. I've never heard this preached. I'm thinking about it for the last couple of weeks since the Miller sent that note. So what is it that happens? Well, look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are... concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Now, if they were already in heaven, why would you be even thinking of sorrow? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Does it sound like He's brought them there yet?
No.
Sounds like He's going to bring them. Doesn't it to you? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what? The whole issue in 1 Thessalonians 4 that I see are really the people that are asleep. That they haven't lost their hope. Their hope is still good. But it doesn't sound to me in those passages that their hope has been fulfilled. Do you all see that? I see it still as a future hope. Terry, how do you see it? Listen to this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, if they're in heaven, why would you even, if they're already there, how could you prevent them? And the next verse, he really explains the gist of it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those which are asleep, shall what?
Rise.
Well, how is that possible if they're already in heaven? See, to be absent from the body is to be what? Why? How does that work? Well, once you die, you break through this flesh and you're in a whole... Hey, how did I say it? You're not in Kansas anymore. You're leaving. On a jet plane. Don't know.
You're out of here.
You're out of there. And you're in a spiritual world where no physical realms and body and time and things that we think of in this realm exist.
No arthritis?
Well, no, the Bible says the pain will be gone. How many here have worked a really hard day and their body ached and they fell asleep and they couldn't feel their body? How many's done that?
Amen.
And you were going to say something. I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, the only thing I was going to say was that the response that Paul's given there in verse 15 about the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Evidently, somebody thought that they may be going first and the dead would be left behind.
And my point would be is that he would never have thought that they were in heaven. But their hope didn't extinguish with death.
Well, they weren't sure what the question was where would they be?
That is the question.
Paul says they're in the Lord just like you would be in the Lord if you died.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that. But he's in a good sense making the answer that what? They're not in heaven yet.
Right.
17.
Do you believe verse 17?
Do I believe what?
That sleep will be like a blink of. In other words, you know, if you're asleep for 1,000 years, it'll be like you went straight to hell.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
You probably won't. How many here has laid down? Okay, we're back to that work thing. You worked really hard. You lay down. You're just going to take a little nap. Next thing you know, you wake up and it's the next day, and you go, "What happened? I didn't even eat." That's how it's going to be. It'll be. It will, in a sense, be instant. But just remember, where are you going to be? With the Lord. Is the Lord in heaven only?
No.
He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, right? So, I mean, is he even in the courts where hells are?
Yes.
Yeah. Until the great white throne judgment, I believe he's in that spiritual realm. And until you're cast out into the outer darkness, as it's called, or the lake of fire, I believe that you're in the courts and the realms where God dwells. And you'll be able to see that. Now, have I confused anybody so far? Gene, you're my barometer.
No.
What?
I've always heard, too, that people die and go to heaven, and I wondered about that, but I'm not confused.
But watch verse 16 and 17 again. I want you to see the greatness. And again, once you leave this, and listen, let me tell you, look amongst yourself right now. Everybody, look. I want you to look around. One of us in this room will be the next to die. No, it's not probably so. One of us in this room will be the next to die. What is it, Carlton? The way Jeff ran practice today, it might be him. How about Miss Holloway? She's 85. How about Seth? I can't tell you who's going to be the next, but I can tell you that one of you guys, including me, could be the next to die. And the moment that last breath goes, you guys will take a body that the Spirit has gone back to be with God, Ecclesiastes 12. And the body will go into the ground, and you know what will happen to that body? It'll be about 2 pounds of dust. But there's a part of you that will be asleep. There's going to be part of you that will be asleep. You'll be in comfort, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. And there'll be peace. There'll be no more struggles. All those things will be faded away, but you're not there yet. Just like in paradise. Were they in heaven yet?
No.
Are they ever going to go to heaven?
No.
They're going to go into a kingdom, aren't they? These people, They're still okay right now? They're in torment.
Yeah, they're okay for being in torment.
But they're going to go even further. Did you not get the idea of turning that off the first time? He didn't know he had so many friends.
Well, bring it to the front of the class.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. But after that, they have
no hope.
They didn't have any hope. They don't have hope in hell, but they're in an environment that they can communicate.
Right. Yeah.
They don't feel the total.
But when that great white throne judgment happens, it's going to be over. Now let me read the last two verses together. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Well, if they had already gone to heaven, wouldn't we have met the Lord and them in the air? Yes or no?
Yes.
I don't think they're in heaven. I think they're asleep in the Lord. And I think that they're in peace and comforted. Go to Revelation, Daddy Burke's favorite verse. I preached this at his funeral. Did I say 19? Revelation 21. I thought I said 19. I'm like, that ain't right. Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears, verse 4, from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things shall be passed away. For us that are saved, guess what the flesh feels?
Pain.
It can cry. It hurts. It beat up. But you know what God does that's unique, that I find the most unique? You were talking about this earlier. The people in hell still have those connections to those feelings. It's almost as if God doesn't disconnect. Almost like he leaves your nervous system intact. But those that are in paradise and those people that are asleep, it's as if he totally disconnected it.
It's like rest from the word, no rest for the wicked.
It is a lot like that. You all understand? It's as if at this point when you're asleep, there's no more pain. There's no more. And you know what? You're going to be resurrected. And God is bringing with him a body not made with the hands. So you won't be found what? And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because we do want to be out of this body. How many really want this body? Since mine turned 50, it's just acting ugly.
As my dad said, it's downhill from here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, my dad says, growing old is not for the faint of heart. But the point that I'm making with that, having this body wasn't ever my hope.
That's right.
Being absent from the body. And I know we all struggle with that. We don't want to go around acting suicidal, do we?
No.
No.
So when you leave the body,
mm-hmm.
you will be naked.
Yes. Until he brings back a clothing for you.
But in a sense, I'll sleep. So.
You'll be sleeping naked. Don't be near me, please.
I'll be at the Lord. He'll take care of that.
You all understand? That's what I believe that's what 2 Corinthians 5 is all about. People say, well, what am I going to do without a body? He says, hey, the Lord will bring you a house made without hands. And he'll take your mortality and put it in immortality.
You don't think he'll give us our body as soon as we leave this one?
No. I believe the thing that he's bringing with him. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Let me nail this point down because that's a good.
I mean, I've read it like a thousand times.
I know. Doesn't help. No. I mean, doesn't hurt.
It didn't help either.
Watch.
I'll read it a thousand more though.
Well, let's read it together. Maybe we'll get it. Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal where?
In the heavens.
All right?
But I have one right now. My body's not dissolved, right? It's waiting for me now, right?
You got it.
So whether
you may not need it. He may rapture you. He may just change your bowel body.
But it's still the body that...
It will be an eternal body.
That body.
Yeah, but the ones that are dead, he's needed it for 2,000 years. I'm talking the Apostle Paul. You all understand? If you get raptured, you don't need it because you'll change. Now watch this. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Does it sound like he's clothed? He has a desire to be clothed. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed. That's the greatest line in the Bible. I love that. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. We want that tabernacle from heaven, don't we? That eternal. For we are always confident, knowing this, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Why? There's a veil. There's a veil. It keeps us from really seeing it. And you know the only way we can have a glimpse of that eternal spot is not through your eyes. It's through your ears. Faith cometh by hearing. And faith is the only thing that allows you to see. Listen, did you hear me? The only portal you can see beyond this flesh is through your ears. You see through your ears? In the Word of God you do. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you see the truth? By hearing it. Now, that doesn't make sense to doctors because they think you see through your eyes. That's true of this world. But if you want to get to the spiritual world, it comes through what? Hearing. Now, I'm afraid to even ask this. Any questions? Now, Terry, look what time that is.
I don't care if it's quarter after. I'm fine with it.
Dead on, dude.
I'll pay you extra. I don't care.
Please, if you'd like to hear another 15 minutes, send $100 now. All right. I'm done. Any questions?